Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are talking about whatever it is that you'd like to talk about. Actually, we're waiting for a call from someone. Yes, we're waiting for a call from Tommy at Tommy Seafood.
Oh, yeah?
Who is going to call you with a funny question because he's getting some things. He's a seafood guy. He's getting some unusual things shipped into him today, and he wants to ask you a question. So I told him to call you on the show because it would be fun.
Oh, good. Well, I hope I know the answer.
It was nice to see those guys.
Those guys, they're salt of the earth. They're great people. They
That's a
really,
great restaurant.
Really knows their stuff.
Great restaurant and a good book, a very good book.
And
The Deep End of Flavor by Tenney Flynn from G.W. Finn's.
I was tempted to grab him and say, stay another hour. I think we could have filled another 2 hours with him.
Probably.
Anyway, they're easy enough to find. Their restaurant is right across the street from Arno's. It's on Bienville Street between Bourbon and Dauphine. Easy to find.
Beautiful place. Overdue to go there. We're going to have to go there for the culinary.
The culinary
looks really good.
Great looking place. And a big menu and lots more there. If you want to know about that or about anything else having to do with food, about restaurants, cooking, wine, and all the rest of it, our number is 260-6368. 260-6368. Our co-host.
Thank you.
I needed that so badly.
A little push.
Is Mary Ann.
Hi.
My wife, and she is here, and she is also a lifelong radio person.
You know, I'm almost like a superhero.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. And
I'm a radio superhero. That's what I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good thing you can fly.
Yes,
we have to have that.
Yeah.
But anyway, if there's anything you want to know or you want to, here's the other side of this. I don't often put it this way. If you find a restaurant that you think is really terrific or not very good at all, and you think it's worth letting other people know about it, we're not out here trying to, you know, shoot at people or anything like that. We just like talking about it, and we would love to hear from you. So our number is 260-6368. And
today is National Watermelon Day.
Watermelon Day. Imagine that.
I love watermelon. I don't eat nearly enough watermelon.
I wonder what the nutritional aspect of that is. Anyway.
None.
Zero.
I mean, of course. It has a certain number of nutrients, I'm sure. But its biggest claim to fame is that it is a hydrating item.
Yes. Is this something that makes you feel hydrated?
Well, it doesn't make you feel hydrated. It makes you feel full, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is, it's good to eat foods that are full of water.
Oh, is that it? Mm-hmm. Well, that's easy enough.
Yeah. So today is National Watermelon Day. Question for you. Do you like the little ones? No, not you.
Whose glasses are these?
Do you like, they've been sitting there forever.
Oh.
Do you like the little ones that have no seeds, or do you like the regular basic watermelon with the black seeds and the white seeds?
I find that the waterier they are, the better I like them. And also, sugar is not the word I'm saying, because when you just cut it open, you get some that just don't have any flavor at all.
Yeah. And
some of them that are just a mess in terms of falling apart with all the sugar in it. I like the ones that somehow get it right down the middle.
But you never know about this. You know the little book that we have at home, the little, it's the...
book.
No, it's the Something Enigma, Edible Enigma book, has a page on how to choose a melon. How to choose. It's not only watermelons, but how to choose a melon. Something about the thumping and all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's
anyway.
I'm told is pure bunkum. I have a friend of mine who, for a long time, when he was in his late teens, and he used to work on the back of a truck where they would go to these fields of watermelons and pull them together and then put them on the market. And he used to go and do that for money when he was a teenager. And he told me all kinds of ideas about how you can tell a good one from a bad one. And I said, well, what about thumping them? And he said, what? That doesn't do anything. You don't know anything from it.
Yeah.
I've never paid any attention to it since.
Well, you know what? I think if you, and this is kind of a problem with me, where I buy watermelon, it looks, you know what? Good idea. Again, this goes back to me as the sucker. Good idea, grocery people, when you slice the watermelon and you make it look all pretty and red. People like me who are suckers want to buy it, and I always do. I buy a big quarter slice or half slice, half watermelon, and then I bring it home, uh-huh. and I start eating it, and then after a day, I've decided I'm done eating it, and then it just rots, which is
that's
the problem
that?
With watermelon. It's too big.
Yeah, well, you need a refrigerator for
or
it.
Or you need a group of people.
A big
group. Like if you brought
or
a watermelon.
That would be a good way
to. If you brought a watermelon to a party or something, then, you know, that would be worthwhile because there'd be enough people to eat it. Does that blue, the undulating square,
ooh.
Doug, mean that we have a caller? I don't see a name up there. So
I don't see,
it does not.
At the moment, we
it,
don't. Well, there might
not.
Be another one coming in.
I don't know.
Up the way.
It's,
but,
it's highlighted anyway.
We would sure like to talk with you.
You know, Tom, I'm looking at your almanac, and it says, yeah? and I'm going to read it straight. Oh, wait,
straight.
We do. Wait, we do. There he is.
Tommy D.
Yes. Let's go
Tommy
to Tommy.
Tommy D. Good name.
Let's go. Hi, Tommy.
Hi.
Hi there. Welcome.
Hey, well, thank you. And I'm calling because my son is sending me some spiny lobsters from the Florida Keys this evening. Picking them up. And I'd like to know, I started remembering lobster cadaver.
Well, you won't remember it long, if at all.
I knew Tom would get a laugh out of that.
I wanted to ask about it. You know, can you tell me anything about it?
About the lobsters or the recipe, the other?
He can tell you that there's nobody going to get the recipe.
Interested in. I'm trying to find something unique or different.
Well, you'd certainly have that if you had lobster cadaver. Which was a signature dish that used to be served at Tipa Tari's, a restaurant that is long gone. So you don't even bother looking for it. You won't find it. It's gone.
As is the recipe for
and
lobster cadaver.
Also is the end of lobster cadaver as a recipe. Now you're just stuck with these spiny lobsters, which are not like the ones we're most accustomed to see them, where they have the big, big claw. These are from the Caribbean. The claws are much smaller. They're there, but they're not what you're used to seeing. Not a lot of meat on them. Some people like them, and some people don't. We here in New Orleans, it was becoming popular pretty much since the 1940s, I'm going to say. And then it became popular again, I remember the first place that served it was Antoine's, of all places, because they had lobster on the menu, but it was Maine lobster, and they were about the only ones who were using it at that time. So
the short version, Tommy, is that there is no such thing as a lobster cadaver recipe anymore. It died with Tipa Tari's.
Okay. That may have been completely true, but I've asked Tom
He sees the sun.
Yeah, and he's still around. I run into him every now
but
and then.
But he ain't giving up his lobster
recipe.
He's
not in the business anymore, but he says, yeah, someday I'll give it to you right. He's never going to give me that recipe. but it's just a jokey little thing we play with one
another. So what are you going to do with the lobsters?
I'm not nuts about
spiny lobsters.
Spiny lobsters.
Do they have any flavor?
I guess they have some of it, but if you ever go and get it, the places to look are Chinese restaurants.
He's got it right in front of him.
Oh, he's got it.
He's picking it up at the airport today, and he wants to know what to do with lobster.
Boiling.
Spiny lobster.
And then broiling. You can grill it. That comes out pretty good. But you have to be careful. There's not as much meat on it as you might be used to.
Have you ever done it before, Tommy?
Yeah, sure.
I had the picture sent to me by my son showing them split open, and it shows the head is full of meat as well as the tail.
So you've not had them. You've not done it yourself yet.
I have not. This is the first time. He's in the crab business over in the Miami area, and of all things, shipping crabs to Baltimore. So he sent me these. He's getting them live, and he put them on the plane and send them to me today. So
those
we're going to try
pictures.
Them out tonight.
Those are gorgeous.
Well, good
pictures.
Luck. Let me know how that came out.
You're going to put
butter and garlic in a grill.
There you go. I think that's it.
Well, that sounds good.
That's about it. That's about all you can do.
That's a simple thing to do,
give
but sometimes
report.
That's how.
Okay.
I will.
Give us a
report. Let you know. Thank you
all
so
right.
much.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you. See ya. It's the food show.
6-0.
Thunder, lightning.
3-6-8. Yes, Doug. We see. Hi, Ron.
Ron, you here too?
Yes, Ron the Gourmet Waiter. How are you all doing?
I'm
Ron
good.
The Gourmet Waiter. Here he is. Thank you.
Hey,
what's up?
Thank you. Y'all were talking about watermelon. I've got a great idea. It's a good reason to buy a whole watermelon, and you don't have to eat the whole thing in one or two sittings.
All right.
Tell me.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to take the watermelon that's left over, and I'm going to scoop the watermelon meat out, pull the seeds out of it, and I'm going to put it in freezer bags and freeze it and make watermelon daiquiris out of it.
Hmm.
That's actually a great idea.
That does sound good.
Yes. How do you make a watermelon daiquiri?
Same way you make a regular daiquiri, but with watermelon and a little touch of cream.
Cream?
Hmm.
Huh. And it's good?
Yeah. The freezing, it's fantastic. Normally, most people would think that the freezing would bust up the consistency of it because it's a fruit. You normally don't freeze fruit,
right.
But... you're going to blend this thing in the blender anyway, so that's going to resolve that issue.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Have you done any of this pressing of watermelon, Ron?
No, I haven't.
That was catching on fire every now and then, and I haven't seen it lately. But this was mostly done by top-end chefs who were really...
stupid. I'm sorry.
And they would get in there, and they would have this gizmo that would just bring down the texture of a watermelon down to what looked like solid stone. I mean, it was bizarre.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty good
to
taste.
You thought it was good? I didn't think it was
well,
good.
Well, it's not something I thought I would...
Not one of those silly things.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a strong element of that.
Anyway, got anything else, Ron?
Of course I do. I always have. I've got plenty of great food content. Speaking of sandwiches, just kidding. I did something that was for you, Marianne.
I know.
I did something the other day that was fantastic. I saw it online. I tried it out. It worked really well. I cooked a steak in a wok.
Really?
I would guess that would be great.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat. The whole idea is I'm using kind of high heat, so we're doing sort of a black and blue. You're going to get a nice crisp on the outside, and it's going to be kind of medium rare, not as well cooked on the inside. Sort of Pittsburgh, but I like that.
Mm-hmm. That's what Tom likes,
and then what
too.
I did is, at the first flip, what I did is I put some butter in there, and the butter slides underneath the steak due to the shape of the wok, so it kind of perfumes up in butter while it finishes off.
Hmm. Yeah. I'll bet you that was good.
It was really
good.
That's
it was,
different.
And when you take the steak out to rest, you put in a little bit of red wine, a little more cracked black pepper, and a touch more butter, and now you've got a great sauce. Maybe some mushrooms, some shallots.
Yeah, that sounds great, actually. Yeah.
It happens really quickly because of the heat of the wok, and everything goes to the center and the bottom, so you've got plenty of time. The sauce comes together in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, that sounds good. All righty, Ron.
That's about it.
Thank
y'all have a great
you very
day.
Much.
Great
Bye.
Show.
We'll do our darnest.
260-6368. So, Tom, you have let's go ahead and take a break before we get into this.
All right.
260-6368 is the number. You're listening to 105.3 HD2 WWL-FM. Okay. Martha Stewart was born today in 1941.
Oh. Mm.
And this is a quote from Tom. A great deal of her advice involves creative ways to serve food and lots of recipes,
Although what?
I'm listening to someone sing. Although whenever I read such articles in her magazine, I get the idea that everything is conceived more for effect on the brain and eye than on the palate. Still, her ideas have certainly changed the way food is served in American households with ambitions to elegance, end quote.
Mm. Well,
actually,
everybody wants to be elegant, don't we?
100% correct. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've cursed Martha Stewart.
Why would you bother with that?
Because I used to get these ideas that I could do what Martha Stewart was doing in the magazines. And every time I followed it to the T, it fell flat.
Mm.
And I would be so angry, but I'm over it now.
Well, you could have called the radio show. We could have fixed you up.
I'm over it now. That pretty much nails the whole Martha Stewart thing. Yes, indeed. It is conceived. It's showbiz is what it is. It's absolutely showbiz. Not to try this at home. Just enjoy it. Just read it. And whatever you do, don't try it at home or you are going to get ticked off, because that is what happened every time I did it.
Hmm.
Anybody else have any Martha Stewart stories about things that sounded like great ideas?
Because it's her birthday?
Or looked like great ideas, and then you tried them and you thought, wait a second, this doesn't work. Hmm. This doesn't work at all for me because I don't have a staff of 20 people. That's what it takes. Anyway,
maybe someday you'll get it.
Yes, Martha Stewart, born today in 1941.
Oh, gosh. I wouldn't have guessed that in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, she's going to be 80 pretty soon.
Wow. Well, good luck to her.
Yeah. Anyway, you also had something about the Superdome being dedicated today and wondering why there is no good food in the Superdome.
Well,
it's better than it was, I think. Don't you think?
You never
go to the Superdome.
I've only been there a few times, and the things that were interesting there were not the kind of things that I like, but that's, I don't have any right to.
Is there any good food in stadiums? Those of you who actually go places and follow the team, is there people who go to out of, away games? Yes, I see, Andrea. Away games. And, you've gone to other stadiums. I'm curious to see if the food is better.
Yeah.
But let us go to Chef Andrea first.
Andrea is here.
And waiting for us. Yes.
Wow. Here he is. He's stepping up right now.
Yeah, thank you.
And getting ready.
Hey there.
Be careful if you're walking around outside. It is raining like crazy downtown.
Sounds like a little grandma when it rains.
There is lightning, heavy lightning in the last 10 minutes or so.
Wow.
And so just let it play out. It's not going to be there forever, and then you can get up and go away. And in the meantime,
nobody cares about the weather but you, Tom.
but you will be very happy to sneak in and have Chef Andrea take care of you.
There you go. There you go.
Because when you go to Andrea's and you would like to get in.
His house is your house.
That's true. But he wants to, if you want to get into his restaurant just so you can get away from the lightning and everything, go there. He'll park your car for you for free. No, I'm not serious. I'm not.
Hi, Andrea. Just go and talk.
Believe me,
Tom's digging himself into a hole.
Tom
is right, because sometimes when it rains and you can park right underneath the deck, you don't get wet, and then we kind of park for you. I park for the guests myself, so I go out there and take care of the car and park the car, or drive up the car. So I do that for my guests all the time.
Wow!
So well, there we are.
It's an extra service.
Sometimes
I get promoted to a valet parking.
Wow.
I make a lot of money in Bali.
I think you're right. So when you're not parking cars, what's on the stove?
We have some wonderful, great dishes. Tonight we have the beautiful, this time of the year, eggplant run very well. So the eggplant parmesan cheese soup. That's for soup today. Special dish on a three-course culinary menu. And you get the appetizer. The other one is tortellini. Four cheese, homemade fresh tortellini from scratch, and that's the second choice on the appetizer, or nice and wonderful Andrea green garnishal with all kinds of bountiful thing, homemade dressing, or choice of dressing. The Andrea, you have a silver strip with pesto butter sauce on top, or you have a wonderful choice of grouper with lemon butter sauce, or the beef broccioloni, which is one of our guests' favorite dish. Or you can have a nice, wonderful pork chop, very, very pound, very thin, Milanese style, topped with fresh baby arugula, tomato vinaigrette. Or you can have a nice, wonderful pompano. That's pompano, that's Tom's favorite. We have pompano on a three-course meal for $38, or the choppino. This is tonight, every day for culinary until end of the month. We do this wonderful for since the culinary came all about 17 years ago. And we do this for lunch, and then the lunch is two-course meal, and we do for $20. At dinner time, it's three-course meal for $28. You get dessert. Dessert tonight is English truffles.
English truffles. Explain to them what that is, because...
Trifle or truffle?
Trifles. Yeah, and there is such a thing called the truffle, but this is a different thing entirely, and very popular in Europe and in England, or of all places, in Italy. And they'll make these desserts that have British names. It's very strange, but tell them about it.
Yes. What we do, as you know, we do sponge cakes here at Andrea, with chocolate sponge cake, vanilla sponge cake. And what we do, we take the top of the 10-inch, we cut in three layers. And what we do, we take a triple sack, we do our own triple sack, and we do the simple syrup and a little touch of our Grand Marnier. We mix all together. And what we do, we cut it once the layers, put them on a nice tureen. You can put a nice square form, about, I would say about an inch and a half high around and deep pan. Then we start to put the first layer down. Then we put soaking, which I just mentioned earlier, the triple sec, simple syrup, and a Grand Marnier. And then we do our own pastry cream from scratch. The pastry cream is made, you know, at Andrea every day. Of course, you know, a lot of pastry made here from scratch. And afterwards, we put a layer of pastry cream. Then we put the fresh strawberry and then candy fruit a little bit and a little touch of whipped cream. Then we put another layer on top of the sponge cake. And we do three or four times the same until it goes up to the tureen that, you know, you're the... dish that you have formed, and then on top of it, you put a sprinkle of the candy fruit. Candy fruit is all kinds of citrus, like lemon, orange, cherry, also too. And it's all marinated in a nice, wonderful, it's called a candy fruit. And we put a sprinkle on top of that, then a little touch of chocolate, of the mini chocolate, and then also you let them soak it. You let them rest in about 2-3 hours in the refrigerator. And when you really scoop it out, you make a nice presentation and put a touch of a raspberry colino or a strawberry colino. And you serve that to your guests. It's very unique, very delicious.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It's Mamma Mia.
It does.
And that's an English truffles. And, and of course, you know, we've been doing it since we opened the restaurant 35 years ago.
Live music tonight?
We have tomorrow. No, the music is going to be Thursday.
Today's Wednesday.
Today's Tuesday.
No, Tuesday.
Yeah.
No wonder Tuesday. I didn't know what it was.
That's okay. That's okay, Tom. That's
all of this is at Andrea's, and he's waiting for you now all the days of the week, 7 days a week, lunch and dinner.
Give him the number.
And what? What'd you say?
I said give him the number.
And number, Andrea, 834-8583. My home is your home. Ciao, grazie. Ciao, belli. Marianne and Tom, have a wonderful evening.
See you soon. And there thank you, Andrea.
All right, there he goes.
Thank you, Marianne.
Chef Andrea.
Let's go straight to Mike, and then we'll
straight to
break.
Mike.
Yes.
We go over straight to Mike. Mike, welcome.
Welcome, welcome. This is retired Chef Mike.
Oh.
Used to wear all the crazy pants.
Oh, well, you wouldn't be the only one, but it still sounds interesting.
No, I started it.
Started what?
Yeah, over... Wearing the crazy pepper pants and pants from started
where,
all
where
over the
were
country.
You at that time?
Crazy pepper pants. I can't get my head around it somehow.
All over them. Well, pants with peppers all
yes.
over them. And
where were you at that time?
Pants with your
where were you working at that
catering.
Time?
I had a catering company.
Oh, I see. Okay. Uh-huh.
All right.
And Sam saw me. He knew who I was. He'll know who I was.
Yes.
Anyway, I was working for a fire company, will remain unnamed, at the Florida Restaurant Expo. And next door to us were the lobster people. And the guy said, what are we going to, at the end of the first day, what are we going to do with these six lobsters? Well, it not said six. It probably had 12 lobsters. Mm-hmm. We had six fryers, and we were going to throw the oil away anyway, because we were frying things all day, and they're selling fryers. They don't care about.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
The cost of oil is cheap.
Okay.
And so I said, well, you know, we have Paul Perdomo right across the hall, and from the aisle there, and we walked over and talked to Paul and said, could we get some seasoning? He said, sure, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to deep fry some lobster.
Hmm.
He said, what are you, going to clean them? I said, no, we're going to just take and crack them open, season them up, and deep fry them. They said, you can't do that. Well, you know, we did that, and we did that for 4 days straight. It came out fabulous.
Wow. Did you put them in the standard batter before you fried them, or you just seasoned them? No batter. Just
no
threw
batter.
Them in.
Just
okay.
Seasoning.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We used like six or seven of different Paul's seasonings.
Huh. Tommy, I hope you're listening to that. I'm going to try that. That's great.
Yeah, I'm taking it all down. The point of the discussion is beyond me, but
yeah.
I've been...
We're trying to figure out what to do with lobster. Thank you for that idea.
I've been able to do it lobster, and I've been just a fill-in. I've been retired for probably 20 years now.
Uh-huh.
And for 12 of those years, my wife and I traveled the world.
Oh, that sounds good.
And ate all over the world. The only continent we did not hit was Africa.
Uh-huh.
We even hit
Australia
and Antarctica.
Wow.
But you don't find much food in Antarctica.
No. It gets too cold.
Would you send Tom an email, tom@nomenu.com? I might like to have you on
sure.
to talk about your experiences,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, tom@nomenu.com.
You've got it. That's easy to do.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling, and nice hearing from you.
Not at all.
It's
Bye.
The Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice.
Let's talk about New Orleans hamburger and seafood.
Let's do so.
Yes.
What do you know? I usually jump in here and start putting forth the reasons I think that New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company is worthy of your attention. But I actually think that Marianne would do a better job of this than me because she's really one of those people who likes hamburgers. Just
I
to
do.
Put
I love
it.
Hamburgers.
So it's in your lap.
All right. I'm going to take it away. New Orleans Hamburger has a nice, semi-extensive or pretty good size burger menu. The burgers are crusty on the outside and juicy on the inside. They also have fried seafood, which is greaseless and golden brown. And hot comes to your table. You could have it spice-alicious if you want to have it spiced up a little bit. So they have platters, and they have poor boys of delicious fried seafood. They have char-grilled oysters now at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood. That's a new development. It is a nice, fast casual.
I got to put that on my list.
Yes,
that's,
you do.
I'll
absolutely
bet you
do.
That's good.
They also have good local dishes, you know, the usual red beans and rice and such things. They have some pasta dishes, good salads. Pretty extensive menu in a nice, fast, casual environment. That's New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood. Go see them. They have 10 locations around town. Let's go to Mike.
Mike, come on in. Welcome to the Food Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Come on in.
Heard a rumor that Felix's is going into the old Natini space.
Yeah, that is a true rumor.
That was a new one on me.
That was my reaction, too.
That's interesting. I haven't heard that from an authoritative authority.
As a matter of fact, I said to Mark Benfatti, what? How can you do that? And he goes, well, you write me the check then. So.
Huh? Okay. Well, let's leave it alone until we can have it confirmed.
So there you go. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Let him say what he's going to say. What, Mike?
Well, I'm going to tell you that you actually inspired me to order that book from yesterday's guest.
Oh.
Neil the Heel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, but the whole thing is very hard to define. I mean, it's vague at best about what it actually is and what you can do about it. But I think there's some legitimacy to it. And I thought, well, you know, this woman's a PhD. She obviously got something going on.
It's a pretty book, and it's really easy to follow.
And then one final thing is I really enjoyed the hour with the GW Fence people, and I'm very much looking forward to that cookbook. I think that's going to be a real good one because I've always been intimidated about cooking fish at home. So I think that's just the book I need to give me some reassurance.
Wow. So we sold two books. I think we need to get some a little cut on this now.
Yeah. The what they do is what I think is very essential for a cookbook, and that is to make it really easy to understand.
It doesn't serve any useful purpose to do it from a restaurant perspective if you're going to try to do it in the house.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that's right.
So, okay, have a good evening.
Thank
Bye.
You, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, 260-6368 is the number. You are listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Hello, welcome back. This is The Food Show. It's the only one of its kind in New Orleans, as far as I know, or even around the country, perhaps even. If you know of another place where you can listen to a radio show about the local food scene, call us and tell us about it. I'm not looking toward to say nah, or anything like that. I just would like to see if anybody else has ever done it, because it's such a great idea. We've been doing it for 32 years here. So we'd love to have you join us and talk about the food that you have been to lately, or the food that you've eaten or looked at or any of that. Should we talk about Fausto's?
No, we did Fausto's already, but we haven't talked about lunch today.
We haven't
which
talked
was
about
good.
Lunch today. Yeah, that's
dropped in on
why
a,
didn't I think of that?
A legend for lunch today.
Yeah, we saw, I think Marianne actually saw it, in the book. What book, Tom?
We went to Galatoire's today.
Reason was it was the summertime special.
Oh, we didn't mention it's National Filet Mignon Day today.
And we had one.
It's National Filet Mignon Day, having a special at Galatoire's to celebrate National Filet Mignon. So have one because
we already
that's
did.
The day it is today.
Uh-huh.
We went to Galatoire's. They're doing their celebration menu. It's basically just two options. You can get a $30 filet mignon, or you can get a $40 boned-in filet mignon. And I don't know about you, Tom, but I have been most curious as to how the Philip Lopez era is going to play at Galatoire's. Because probably, 4 or 5 years ago, Michael Sitchell, who was a kind of a crazy guy chef, from Napa Valley, who came here right after Katrina, moved into the executive chef quarters at Galatoire's. And I thought, wow, that is not an automatic. And he stayed there until just last year, when he moved on to Charleston, some new hotel in Charleston, we found out today. And then he was succeeded by none other than Philip Lopez, which is just about as oxymoronic as anything could be. Philip Lopez is doing blueberries out of tubes, and to have him at Galatoire's just doesn't seem obvious choice.
We were talking during our meal. We wound up in the main room and we're talking with David Gooch, who is one of the – actually, he's Galatoire family member going back a long, long time. And we were asking about all these things, and he said, well, you know, we think that this guy is very, very talented. But he also knows that we don't operate this restaurant to be like all the other restaurants in the area, that the Galatoire's has a certain taste to it, a certain look to it.
A tradition. It's got
a tradition. Exactly. And so that's where they're staying, and so you don't need to worry about the whole thing crashing down into something
He's got a thing about fruit. So on the menu for the special bone-in filet mignon, there is a peach bordelaise, which
peach bordelaise. What a concept!
Most interesting. And if anyone goes to this, give us a report tomorrow, because I would like to hear what a peach bordelaise is like.
Yeah.
So you got the steak today. It had smashed potatoes, shishito peppers, and roasted carrots with it. And wasn't there some sort of fruit something?
I kept looking
like a
for that, but
of something.
It didn't register to me. I couldn't quite pick that out.
Well, we started off with Tom has to have those souffle potatoes.
Yeah.
Well, which annoyed you this time.
Yeah, they, this is now two different restaurants. One of them was Galator's and one of them
two
was of Antoine's. And the souffle potatoes are, now have the texture, a crispy texture.
Like a chip.
Of all, like yeah, I mean, really like a like you buy in a bag of chips. These are like maybe one-third how crisp they are. They were totally different. And I wonder what that's about. I wanted to talk to one of the chefs at one of them or, and find out. But for the now, we will just...
This is now your second souffle potato disappointment.
Yeah, and exactly okay. The same.
Both
and so crunchy that it would just disintegrate the minute you take a bite out of it.
Okay, so that's what Tom had for a starter.
And one other thing should be said, because this is what happens at Galator's on a lot of days. I walked over to a table because a guy grabbed me and made me, well, that I went over to their table. And it was a bunch of Jesuit guys that were in the class of 1968. And we all shook hands and said, yeah. Well, here we are again.
It was not very busy, which sort of surprised me, but we knew a lot of people in there.
Yeah, it was sure. Pretty busy at the beginning, but then it slowed down. But, you know, it's a Tuesday in the, you know, and not really making things happen.
All right. So then you had Oysters Rockefeller. Were you happy
with
those?
Yeah, I sure did. I had a half a dozen, which, you know, most places you get three of them. I got six.
Were you happy with them?
I was very happy with them, and I scarfed them right on down. They were a little spicier than usual, which is funny, but didn't get in the way of anything. And then the sauce itself is the darkest green color I've ever seen on one of those
things.
Yeah,
it really was dark.
And it also had a fairly spicy background, and that was a little unusual. But
there were definitely unusual Oysters Rockefeller. I will say that from the little bite that I took.
And then somebody got a ticket.
I had a seafood gumbo. I have decided that if I see a seafood gumbo on the menu, which is not really all that easy to find, although now that I'm really looking for them, I am starting to see them. So I got a seafood gumbo, which I thought was perfectly fine. Not extraordinary in any way, but perfectly fine. It was not... It was good enough. And I got the gacho salad, which is essentially a salad like the maison, or the, whatever it is, at Antoine's, where you have the shrimp remoulade and you have the crab meat maison. But this was just boiled shrimp and no remoulade on it. And it had... it had the crab meat, which was not big lump crab meat, and it was all sort of tossed in a salad with some crumbled egg, and it was really nice. It was good. It was huge. It had tomatoes in there. It was sort of like a coarse mustard vinaigrette, and I thought that was good. That was really good.
Yeah.
I like that.
What was the name of the recipe for that?
The
gacho salad. Yeah. I was thinking about that.
It was crab meat and shrimp tossed with iceberg lettuce, and or maybe it wasn't iceberg lettuce. It might have been romaine. I don't know. Or it's more likely though that it was really iceberg lettuce, just chopped finely. It had a nice little coarse mustard vinaigrette on it.
It had a little just a reach into the past. There was a time when if you went downtown to. Buy things in grocery stores.
Gachos.
So you know about this
already. Of course
already.
I know gachos.
Okay, well,
but
thank you
for thinking I'm too young for that.
Anyway,
I'm flattered.
Gachos. Was that the name of it?
Nope.
No.
Gachos.
Gachos, yeah. Gachos was one of several downtown stores that had names like Maison Blanche and
D.H. Holmes.
D.H. Holmes. And all of them had their own. And... after a while, that kind of faded out. But Galatoire's kept all of those ideas. And so they, to this day, they still have those salads, those big salads with shrimp and crab meat and all that. And in this case, once again, it's the
gacho salad. Because Gacho's was a much more upscale place.
Yeah,
I remember
Maison that.
Maison Blanche and Holmes's. Remember the Holmes's cafeteria?
The Holmes's. Oh, yeah. I get everything at the Holmes's.
Yeah. Do you remember that? Because I like that place.
I did, too. It's I bought where, a lot of clothes there.
It's, no, I'm talking about their little restaurant. Do you remember the H. Holmes restaurant?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was
where
like,
Deanie's is now.
Kind of like a buffet that was turned inside on itself.
It was, it was pretty avant-garde-ish for the time that it was in. It was the 70s, 80s. And I thought it was, it was pretty... it was avant-garde. That's the word for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I at least that's how I remember it.
Right.
But I did like it a lot.
What else you got on
these? These are a really good jambalaya.
On the almanac today. Anything left on that?
I can look at a few other things. I was definitely in total agreement with your opinion of Martha Stewart, because she used to really, really, really annoy me.
I can't say that I have an opinion of her one way or the other.
Well,
I heard
of the sad little housewives that were trying
I was definitely not a housewife. I can stand behind that.
Now, there's something in your almanac, Words to Eat By. It's a quote from a guy named Sadat Hasan Manto. He was a Pakistani writer of short stories, and he said, and I quote, "Some people kiss as if they were eating a watermelon," end quote.
What a concept. What an image.
It is.
I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
I don't even want to think about that. Yes. That's absolutely. That was his opinion. I don't know who he's kissed, but
I don't want to
kiss them myself. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. That's 260 menu. Also, Shoe Pick. You have Shoe Pick here.
I sure do.
Which is the name of some neighborhoods, you say, in Louisiana, four to be exact. And I remember Shoe Pick as what most people, I think, nowadays for sure, will think of automatically as the caviar.
The source of caviar. And we were talking earlier with our friends, Tenny Flynn and Gary Wallerman, earlier from that outfit. Anyway, they were we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but there's another name for shoe pick, and that is paddlefish. And if you ever saw one of these, they look like a primitive fish from out of millions of years ago. It had, instead of your typical fins on its sides, it had what almost looked like shoes. Well, not shoes. On wrists and muscles, and almost looked like it could just walk across the land. And in fact, it can pretty much. So this is where all the Louisiana caviar comes from. Most of it, anyhow. It's a great product if you ever have the opportunity to get some, especially if you have a big party to throw, like for somebody getting married or the like.
Well, we got married with how many pounds of Shoe Pick caviar? It was $5 a pound.
50
then.
Pounds.
No. Is that true?
It was 20.
We had some kind of Shoe Pick caviar. It was just developed 30 years ago.
That's right.
When
we were
getting married, and we had someone that we knew who was talking about this stuff, and it was only, they were just trying to get it into the market. It was $5 a pound back then, and people were most impressed at our wedding. We had just trays of it, and people were thinking it was beluga because it's as good as beluga. I don't eat caviar, but I was told that it was really quite good.
Well, it's definitely, well, you know, I would, beluga is not available to the normal public, so that's not worth talking about anyway. But it certainly, when you got the local product, they treated it there.
I wish I had stock in that because
maybe so and maybe not.
Very well with that.
Yeah.
Very, very well. Shoe Pick. Mm. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. That's 260 menu. We have not, we don't have any other restaurant. I went to the Ruby Slipper yesterday. Oh, I did
you
talk
did?
About that. Yeah, I went to the Ruby Slipper and I had a corned beef Benedict.
Mm hmm.
And I understand now why the Ruby Slipper is exploding across the city. There are 11 locations of the Ruby Slipper now. And not all of them are in New Orleans. They have a couple of them on the Gulf Coast and one in Baton Rouge.
Hmm.
And it's because it's a good menu, and it's very New Orleans, very, very New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Well, it keeps coming back to me that this is the kind of We'll talk about this later. I mean, there was something I wanted to make a point with there, but it sort of slipped down here.
So are we planning to go to dinner anywhere tonight? Or
I don't know. You tell me.
You're tanked for the day?
What do you...
I certainly could be tanked for the day. Well, you're not going to go anywhere because it's raining anyway.
Yeah. You know, what's... Yeah. Those things happen. You know, this rain and
the rain is
that sort of business.
Kind of all the time.
Yeah, kind of all the time.
We don't have to go to Chimes again. Tom's become a barfly at Chimes. It's a little dirty secret I've been keeping.
Yeah, I'm afraid I have to admit that. I'm there for the oysters, the grilled oysters. And lately I've been messing around with their bartenders who, it turns out, that you've had a lot of cocktails to be made, but they didn't quite have the clientele to make it or to pay for it.
What are you talking about? The place is packed.
Well, it is, but I think they mostly drink beer.
That actually brings up a subject that I want to both write
about. Oh, well, let's go to it.
Both want to write about and talk about when we have way more time.
Yeah.
The fine art. This was not covered in the book, The Edible Enigmas. This was not covered in that book. We had, apparently, in the book, there were a lot of enigmas, which were things like how to hold chopsticks, mm-hmm. how to order from a menu. But they missed something that I think is really, really important in terms of it's not actually edible.
Mm. Well, what is it then?
But it is an enigma, and that is the fine art of hovering.
Hmm.
When you are
I'm serious because I can.
You need this skill at Shake Shack really, really a lot.
Oh, I don't know if I wasted on that.
Right,
but
so
one thing is for sure.
The art of hovering is kind of an essential thing depending on where you hang out.
Yeah. And?
And if you are a regular at a place that is super busy and it's not reservations, and the place is not big enough for all the people that want tables, you are then forced to do something I consider totally untoward, which is hover. And you have to have a skill. Hovering is a skill. You have to stay, you have to stay close enough to not be intrusive on the table that is in your crosshairs. But you have to be close enough so that you can grab the table before anyone else grabs the table. Now, I have learned to perfect the art of hovering.
Yeah. And what do you do? I mean, do you do this?
Shake Shack. Because when I'm in Los Angeles, in the concourse, of which there are many Shake Shacks across the land in concourses, and they tend to be very smallish spaces. And they're very, very busy. And in Los Angeles, for example, there is a line of about 25 people. You have to have extra time if you want to go to Shake Shack. And then there's enough space.
What is it about that place that's grabbing everybody? Because it's sure lost on me.
It's good.
It's good. What do you like about it?
The burgers are really good. They're good. Okay. It's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and it's actually really good stuff. Anyway, so you have to learn how to hover and be ready to slip into a table before anyone else can. And this is something that's really, really important if you like to hang out at such places. Anyway, I want to talk about the art of hovering and see what everyone else thinks about it. We had to use that. Mary Lee's pretty good at it. She did it at Chimes the other day.
Well, we've cleared out another day's worth of,
chatter, prattle.
Chatter. And in this case, it was raining too hard at one time.
Food-themed nonsense.
And it was really just piling down there. But we will be back tomorrow with another edition of The Food Show. And tell me what you're eating and what you'd like to eat more of or anything along those lines. With me, Tom Fitzmaurice, and Mary Ann.
Good night.
And also... And we don't mention them often enough.
We will see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.